Welcome to the Smith and Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
All righty, welcome to the Smith and Rowland Show.
Got old at heart with us.
Old at heart. Jason's out of town. Our prayers is with him. Well, yeah. There's been a split between Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro.
Now, this is, that's the Daily Wire.
Yeah.
They made, what made the Daily Wire was the fight against the woke culture and for freedom of speech.
This split between Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro, frame that a little bit. I mean, you've been keeping up with it.
Just that you got two really important, I guess you could say, or definitely
conservative voices.
And they were both, of course, Ben Shapiro is Jewish and Candace is Christian. But the Daily Wire is known for you just speak your mind, you know, what you think. And so Candace had made a few comments about Israel, my understanding, that could be getting on the verge or perhaps they need to be careful about a genocide, which that's a pretty stout statement. Israel, there in the Gaza Strip, and Palestinians. But the deal was there was a drone went in and it was on film, just kind of killed some innocent people. There wasn't any doubt about it. Of course, drone strikes are somewhat dangerous anyway. So, Candace made some type of a comment about that. Then I think it fired Ben Shapiro's rocket and of course, Ben's Jewish. I mean, I get that. But, wow, I thought that was a pretty extreme. Well, put it this way. I think it was an extreme reaction on Daily Wire's part. But, of course, they can Daily Wire can do what they want to. But nonetheless, our concern is that on the conservative side of these issues, that now we have a civil war somewhat. I mean, and where it's split, I hate it, is where it's been split now is between the Jews and the Gentiles.
Yeah.
So to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what this represents.
And that's really what this kind of represents.
Now, I'll also, you can make an argument on both sides of the coin in terms of the fact that Israel is going after an enemy that does not fight by normal rules, if there be any, of war.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas uses human shields to protect themselves. Israel has vowed to take Hamas out.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be casualties in a war.
Mm-hmm.
We ourselves in America sent a drone strike over in Afghanistan and killed innocent citizens.
Oh, yeah, we sure did.
That happened. We wiped out a family that, you know, it was alleged was terrorist, and turned out it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's documented. It's been all of that. I'm saying that it's hard to yell about Israeli genocide without acknowledging the genocide that took place on October the 7th, where Hamas didn't care about killing children.
Oh, no, they didn't care at all.
And now Hamas is using children in Gaza and elderly and citizens as human shields to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference is, and this is interesting to me, I heard this, there was a perspective that was brought up the other day that I thought was very interesting in terms, not of this particular story, but in terms of what we're talking about. In America, there are all kinds of protests about Israel. In Israel, there are all kinds of protests going on concerning their own government and what their own government's doing. In Gaza, there are zero protests from the Palestinian people directed toward Hamas or their government.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas was a ruling government there.
Right. Would we be safe to say they kind of bullied them over and took them over?
Truth be known is, I've heard it both ways. Yeah,
I have too.
But this was at the start of the war. It was said that 49, I think it was 49, it was upper 40 percentile of the residents of Gaza were pro-Hamas. Whether that be right or wrong, I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm just saying what was reported, was reported. The truth is, if Palestinians protested against Hamas, they'd be killed. Because Hamas don't care about them.
That's true.
They're using them now.
Yeah.
They're saying to Israel, here, kill these citizens.
Right.
just as long as we stay in power.
Yeah, we're a shield, and they were using them as shields.
Right. Israel knows that if Hamas stays in power, they're going to go through this again.
Yeah.
So there are two sides to the coin. However, to not point out, I don't think that you can't validate genocide because of an attempt of genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that what's happening between Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro has something to do with the war. It has something to do with Israel and Gaza. But I do think that the deeper issue is that it is the separation between the Jewish population and the Christian.
And that's our
population.
Main concern
and that's,
of today's
that's the concern.
Conversation.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, and then with this, in this article here in the Washington Post, it says prominent right-wing commentator Candace Owens has left the Daily Wire, the website founded by conservative commentator Ben Shapiro, after months of promoting anti-Semitic ideas. Now, that is...
I think it's misleading.
I think that's misleading because, we got to define anti-Semitic. And here is where, you see, I'm pro-Jew. You're pro-Jew.
Yes.
Jewish nation.
I'm pro-Israel.
We're pro-Israel.
I'm pro-Israel.
We're pro-Israel.
I'm pro the land of Israel.
Right. And I
am pro the people.
Correct. We both are.
I do have reverence to the land, yeah.
And we do. But we also believe that Jesus is their Messiah that was rejected.
Absolutely.
Okay, when we make that statement, it appears by some of the Jewish state they would call us
anti-Semitic. And if that makes me anti-Semitic, it makes me anti-Semitic.
But I don't see that.
That definition doesn't fly.
Anti-Semitic to me is you have a hatred for the Jews.
Yeah.
That's to me what anti-Semitic is.
That's
and
right.
I'm the opposite.
Absolutely.
I have a love for the Jews. It's because of the blindness in part that's happened to the nation Israel that the fullness of the Gentiles might come in. So I am appreciative that they're in this blinded state so that this day of grace at the time of the Gentiles might be fulfilled. So I have a level of appreciation because I believe that God has held them in a place of abeyance, it's called, and they're held in this place of blindedness, in which I believe that blindedness, you know, it'll sad to say, but it'll be after the Antichrist tribulation, this blindedness will be lifted.
Yeah.
And I believe that they'll accept Jesus as the true Messiah, second coming. And so, but it has appeared to me that the Jewish state has allowed the Christian state to walk hand in hand with them because basically the Christians have funded, supplied, upheld the Jewish nation because we recognize, for the most part, those of us that aren't in replacement theology, we recognize the fact that God has made promises to Israel and they're yet to be fully fulfilled.
Right.
And you and I recognize that. So we respect Israel and the Jews because of the promises that God has made to them. So to respect God, we have to respect them.
Yep.
But now I'm finding out, which is a little distressing to me, I never considered myself to be called anti-Semitic. And so what's happened to Candace here now is what she's been accused of is saying these statements that to me anti-Semitic is you hate the Jews. And, of course, in replacement theology, which you and I have been discussing that even with Martin Luther back in the Reformation, he had, it appears, a hatred for the Jewish nation.
And it's under the false pretense of a lie because replacement theologists will tell you that, you know, the Jews, if you are of the opinion that the Jews murdered Christ, then you're of the wrong opinion.
Yes.
No man took his life.
That's right.
He laid his life down for
it. That's Bible.
So you can't go to the point. Now, you can say that they rejected him as to who he says he was.
Correct.
That part's true. I do believe the blindness will be lifted. I think it starts in the middle of the tribulation period with the abomination of desolation.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that at that time their eyes will be open. And I think it's Zephaniah, the prophet, that declares that a third of them will then be saved, constituting all of Israel being saved in answer to Paul's prayer in the book of Romans. However, this is leading to a divide to those on the right. And it's going to divide politically.
It's
already divided spiritually, if we can say that.
Spiritually and politically.
Yeah, it's going to have consequences politically because it's going to divide the conservatives.
Well, I submit, Jeff, that this comes out of the pit of hell. I think it's still the spirit of the woke movement.
Yep.
And I think that thing has now jumped track. And we've got some great conservative podcast commentators here, if you will. And now we have a division. And I think that same demon spirit, and I'll call it what it is.
That's what it is.
Yep. That's done this whole woke scene and this whole slimy green
cancel culture
yep, mess that's oozed out of the pit of hell and come on America. I think this same problem is coming right out of that same mess.
I think not only is it coming out of the same mess, but I think this is strategically set in time mm-hmm. by Satan. This will and is going to be an issue during the election that I fear mm-hmm. the right is going to be extremely troubled over, more so than they are now, because we're expecting Israel to leave with the job not finished. That's what some on the right are going to expect. Right now, Joe Biden has declared that we're not going to give him any more weapons, or that's what's being talked about between
right,
him and Bibi Netanyahu, that we're not going to give him any more funding on weapons or any more aid unless they agree to get this done quickly and pull out. Now, we were in Afghanistan for 20 years, but we're expecting Israel in 6 months mm-hmm. to have this whole operation finished. Now, do I want it to be over? Yes, I do. I absolutely want it to be over. You'd be crazy not to want it to be over. But I do understand what the government of Israel is saying when they say, if we leave without finishing the job with Hamas, they're going to rise to power again, and then we're going to have this all over again. And I don't know how much more of that Israel can handle.
Well, I mean, to think that you're going to get rid of that demon by killing all the people,
you're not going to do it. No, you're not.
Go ahead and kill them all. You're still
going to.
I agree. The United States are going and build Gaza back and for another $20 billion.
That's
and we'll build it back and pat everybody on the head and say, now raise another crop.
Yeah, and so say, behave yourself.
Yeah, but come on, somebody.
It's not going to happen.
I mean, just kiss the rat.
Well, as a matter of fact, we know from the Word of God, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. There you go. So anyway, our concern, or kind of our basis, I guess we tend to keep going back into Gaza, but our concern is this civil war on the conservative side, which I do not think is good for anybody. And we did not need our Jewish believers or our Jewish friends and Christians to have a great divide.
We don't need that. But we've got it.
But if the Jewish crowd's going to call Christians anti-Semitic because they believe in Jesus, the only thing I can say to Christians is you don't have to return the same ideas. In other words, if they think you're anti-Semitic, well, okay, so be it. But I don't feel that way towards you.
No.
If you can hear what I'm saying.
No, I absolutely hear what you're saying.
Yeah, in other words, just because that would be the accusation, because what's happened with Candace, she said, okay, I'm just going to say it. She said, Christ is king.
Yeah.
Well, when she said Christ is king, that statement was considered anti-Semitic.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
I'm like, oh my goodness, come on, somebody.
Well, we watched a podcast with
I see why they would say it. But,
yeah.
I mean.
But, you had that rabbi. Who was that rabbi? There's a couple of rabbis that's really been after her, but one in particular, not the one that, that had
she
the.
I had him on there. But.
Yeah. But anyway, rabbi basically said that. He might as well have said, I watched the whole podcast. He might as well have said, if you're a Christian, you're anti-Semitic.
That is what he said.
That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
And Candace came back. She fought back against that. From a political standpoint, you've got Trump running against Biden with Robert F. Kennedy in the middle. And you've got what I fear is going to happen, and you test this, is you're going to have three people running for office, and they're almost, not quite, and please don't hasten to throw stones at me just yet, but you've got all three almost in lockstep with each other on policy toward Israel. Now, that's scary to me.
Well,
that's scary.
Listen, I'm pro Israel. I don't know what they call me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know what name you call me.
The problem is we're kind of in the middle of we're going to be hated by Christians and hated by Jews.
Mm-hmm. But not by God. So we're still
but not by
good.
God. We're in good shape.
You're in good shape.
Not afraid of that. I'm just saying that that's... Now, just as there's a divide on the right, there's a divide on the left, too.
Mm-hmm. So staying with the right, though, of all media organizations that should be ready for an adversarial attack, wouldn't you think the Daily Wire would be the main one? It's the same God, whether you're... Or Satan, rather... whether you're Jew or Gentile.
Right.
Yes, it is.
And then making a positive movement on the conservative side, wouldn't you think that they're ready for that attack?
What surprises me...
I mean, that's a good point.
It's a great point. And it goes to the heart of the secondary issue that's at play here, because this does surprise me. The Daily Wire was an advocate for free speech. They was really advocating for free speech. What's happening is contrary to that. In other words, Ben Shapiro is going after Candace Owens for something she said. Mm-hmm. I thought we were about free speech.
Why are we making it public, even if they have a... I mean, they're both...
Yeah, Ben Shapiro...
Great debaters, right? Yeah. Why are they making it...
Well, that's... Well, here's why I think. I think that the Daily Wire, at the moment, was causing more problems for hell than any podcast out there. And I know we got Tucker and all these others.
Well, that's why I was saying, why wouldn't they be ready for the attack?
Well, they might be ready, but they might think they're ready, but they're not ready.
Yeah, they wasn't close
because
to ready.
Because, in other words, the enemy's not going to target Smith and Rowland. I shouldn't have said that. He has.
I wished you hadn't
yeah,
said,
he
that.
Said that.
I'd give anything if
Well,
you
we're probably
said
safe
that.
Jason's not here.
Yeah,
no, absolutely. I mean they cause a lot of... I think that they've got the attention of hell, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah,
so therefore, they're targeted. There's two sides of that concept. One is, why aren't they ready? And the other one is, well, it's obvious that they weren't. It's obvious that they've taken a Scud missile and they've been divided. They've taken a hit, so to speak. And what we're after now, I think, is the least amount of fallout.
Yeah.
Now, they're, according to what my understanding is, they have now are going to have a debate on what anti-Semitic...
Well, at least they're talking about it. They're talking about having the debate.
What was it, PBD?
PBD, yeah.
Yeah, they had... Have you listened to PBD?
A little bit.
Yeah, I've been listening to them some. So, according to them, they have lined up, I think, a podcast here in the near future to discuss that topic. And between me and you, somebody's going to need to, because when the definitions that are out there now on what is anti-Semitic, the fences have been moved out so broad now that just about anybody, you know,
if you're not Jew, you're anti-Semitic.
You're anti-Semitic.
And that's the way they're defining it. That one rabbi, Candace Owens, never got him to come to grips with any kind of definition. It was so broad that if you wasn't a Jew, you're anti-Semitic.
If you like vanilla ice cream.
You're just anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And everything made you anti-Semitic. So
well, that's not a very accepting culture.
No.
Well, no, hurts his tolerance of anything other than a joke. Jew was zero. And so, therefore, you had the Jewish state. You had the worst representation of the Jewish state
that you could have had.
But then Ben Shapiro being Jew, he does offer the opportunity for like Vody Bauckham and John MacArthur. They've done interviews with him in the past.
That's
actually
the reason
recently.
This seems almost out of character or something.
Like it's something else.
It's spiritual. It has to be. It takes on every mark of this being a spiritual strategic attack.
Yeah.
That's why I think that this will have a bigger effect than people think.
Yeah.
It's not just about Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro. It's about going forward, getting into the election process. What kind of fallout is this going to have on the political dynamic that we go into with elected officials? How will it splinter the conservative vote? Because unfortunately, you got people out there that's going to say, okay, well, if they don't align with what I think, I'm not going to vote for them. Not voting for a Donald Trump, regardless of how you feel about him, is a vote for Joe Biden. Not voting for Joe Biden regardless of how you feel about him, is a vote for Donald Trump. Now, you can say that, but you got RF Kennedy in the middle. Okay, now what kind of impact is he going to have? That's the reason I'm saying this is what's dividing the right. But what's dividing the left? It's akin to the same thing, because Joe Biden is putting pressure on Israel to try to salvage much of the Arab vote in Michigan.
Exactly right.
Because Michigan's a swing state. Mm-hmm. And in the electoral map, mm-hmm. he needs Michigan to win. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. So this same issue is dividing the left as well as the right. Mm-hmm. How it plays out, this is a spiritual paradigm that is only going to end up with a spiritual solution.
I think it's something, just like you're saying, to have a huge effect on the election in November.
Yes. It's just a disagreement between Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens. They're mm-hmm. the representative heads maybe on the right for this. The representative heads on the left are different, mm-hmm. but it's going to end up the same. I would just encourage people that we still have a mandate to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. We still have a mandate to bless the land of Israel and the people of Israel. We're under mandate of that. I don't want our nation to come under the curse of God, because God said, I'll bless those that bless you and curse those mm-hmm. that curse you. That's just what God said. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't change because you've got a rabbi calling you anti-Semitic. Neither should it change in our treatment of even the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. But can I remind people that say, well, you know, the Jews, they murdered Christ. Well, let me say the Arabs hadn't been too kind to Christians either. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there's enough of that to go around on both sides. And it's like Joe Biden's playing both sides against the middle. He's trying to come mm-hmm. up with what works for the base of his party. Well, this is going to define the base of the right-wing party.
Being a Christian allows for a Jew to be a Jew. But it's appearing, based on this new definition that I'm now seeing, that the Jew's not going to allow a Christian to be a Christian.
Right.
That's stalemate. I mean, and so if that is what's happening, somebody still has to yield. And I think the Christian can still yield, because I don't think the Christians change the position. We can allow you to be fully
right.
Jew. If you're blinded, you're just blinded, you know, from where I sit. But I still respect and I allow you to be fully who you are. And because you do not accept Jesus as my Jesus as your Messiah, I'm not going to call you names.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, well, you're anti-Christian.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call you a name. And, of course, the trouble with anti-Semitic is the first thing we all associate with is Hitler and then the killing.
Nazi Party and all that. Oddly enough, I seen Dennis Prager and Jordan Peterson sit down and have a conversation. Dennis Prager's a Jew.
Yeah.
Jordan Peterson talked in the entire podcast. He talked about Christ being crucified on the cross.
And Prager just did wonderful.
They treated each other with vast respect. Not just treated each other with respect, but with admiration.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I saw it.
This is true. We went from that to what we have being played out with Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro.
And there's just no toleration for, you know, and Old at Heart there made a good point. It's the same devil.
Yes. Yeah. You would think.
We at least that have that in common.
That's right. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly right.
We at least got the same devil in common.
That's right.
And, of course, we know, they don't know, but we know that they will be accepting our Christ as their Messiah.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, we know that they will be convinced.
Yes.
So the only thing we got to do is wait this thing out. So it's not a matter of a debate.
That's right.
And if one side wants to call the other one names, well, just, you know.
Oh, just take it and go.
Take it
and
go.
So I think that plays into Handy Mike here threw us up a comment on YouTube. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Ooh. Mm. Well. That's pretty straight.
That's Bible.
But Shapiro didn't read the New Testament, right?
No, he don't believe in the New Testament.
No,
he has read it. I want to go on record.
Yes, he has read it. But
it
I will say, he did you was right when he said he's had John MacArthur on his podcast. He's had Vodi Bachman. He's had, I was trying to think
of
the name of the guy.
Well, a whole string of them.
Yes, he has. And he had a guy on there the other day, and I watched him. I wish I could remember his name. I've sat here the whole time we've been talking trying to remember his name, and I can't. He had this guy on the podcast, and Ben Shapiro laid out how you have to come up with a body of evidence and what the criteria would be for evidence to prove these miracles of Jesus. And this guy did. Around the resurrection of Christ.
Well, and MacArthur and at the end of the interview, did you see that one?
I didn't see the end. I saw the front part of it, but I haven't seen the end.
The very ending, MacArthur says, you know, I appreciate you allowing me to be here. Thank you. Thank you. However, I would be doing a disservice to both you and I if I didn't offer up that Christ is the Messiah.
Did he? Yeah. Praise God.
What did he say?
Basically, you know, we beg to differ.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, you know, and on that topic, you know, about Christ, the resurrection, which we just celebrated last week, because I know there's still a big argument. You know, the argument is the miracles and, of course, the resurrection being the biggest argument there is. But I was reading, I'm teaching in the book of Acts now and about the disciples and Acts 2 and 3 and Peter preaching to Israel and all this. But I got to thinking about it. You got all those disciples, I guess, except John, perhaps. Some say not, but they all died horrific deaths for their faith in Christ. Now, I want to tell you something. All of them said maybe John. Of course, some say John did. But nonetheless, let's say basically all of them died a horrific death.
Yeah.
You would have to be an eyewitness of a resurrection and be that convinced that you saw the resurrection before you would die the death.
I agree with that.
I'm just saying, just faith.
Yeah, come on.
Just faith. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to hold you or not. Yeah. I would like to think. But they were eyewitnesses.
Yes.
They saw with their very, they were so convinced that they died for their faith.
Yep.
So the very fact that they all were martyred for the faith, for the faith in Christ, is proof to me that they saw what they saw. And because they all escaped none, they all died. So they had to see something that we hadn't seen.
Well, and that's funny you mentioned Peterson, because I've heard that same argument even from him this past week.
Oh, really?
From a psychological perspective.
Right. Is that right?
So basically, you know, who among us as humans would not say in the end, life or death situation, okay, I was lying, unless they had been eyewitness.
That's right.
There's something convinced them to the point of death. There was no doubt in their minds that they saw a resurrected Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
There was no
one
doubt.
One of the things that Ben Shapiro...
I mean, the whole crowd of them.
Yeah,
one of
being the things that, absent from the body, it would be present with him again. So where's the incentive to stay around?
Yeah, that's right. One of the things Ben Shapiro was talking about the resurrection is the Gospels was written, you know, like 40 years or something after. But there's writings up to 5 years.
Okay.
Back to 5 years of the death of Christ, about his resurrection. Over 500 witnessed the resurrected Christ at one time. And I heard somebody say it, I used it the other Sunday because it's so powerful. You know, how the Lord whittled out this group of people. Over 500 saw the resurrected Christ. 120 goes to the upper room. There were 70 witnesses sent out from there. You had 12 that was with the Lord. Three was in the inner circle. Only one laid his head on the breast of Christ. And it was while I was watching The Chosen, where it was an episode where John writes, you know, he's going to write his gospel, and The Chosen, they take a little bit of freedom in there.
Exactly.
But he was trying to figure out how to start it. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Something I do want to bring up that Handy Mike points out that we need to discuss on another podcast.
Okay.
I do want to mention at this point. The scripture says, if you deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh.
That's what it says.
Yeah. Don't even bid him Godspeed.
Yeah.
Mark him. Don't have fellowship with him. They're saying what the book says in 2 John. And it calls him an antichrist. There is a difference between having a political relationship with someone and having a spirit-to-spirit relationship with someone. I'm saying that's in the Word of God. We probably should touch on that at some point, because I feel like this podcast, there's going to be many more podcasts like this based on what we're seeing with what's happened with Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens.
I hope we don't see what it looks like we're going to see, but the only thing I can tell you is at this point, I am pro-Israel, pro the Jewish nation, based on the promises that God has made to them.
Yes.
That are yet to be completed.
Absolutely.
And I think we're commissioned to pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
So somebody is, I am sure, going to have to yield in this division. And I say that Christians have all the room to yield. I think we can yield because we know that they will be convinced in time to come.
Yes.
And we'd also know until their blindness is pulled back, they'll have to believe what they believe.
That's right.
And it's just because God's trying to bring in Gentiles, us good-for-nothing misfit Gentiles. He's given us an opportunity through his grace to come into his kingdom.
That's right.
And so I have to have a respect, and I don't think we should. There again, it saddens me that those few would call Christians' name an anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
That's sad to me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. But we don't have to call them names.
That's right.
We can lay that down.
We can lay that down. Praise God. Well, that's the Smith and Roland story, and we're sticking to it. That's exactly
and,
right.
If you don't believe it, we'll make up something else.
And this week, there may even be some unplugs starting
that's
back.
That's right. We're going to try to kick a few
and
up.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that. And until then, you can find us on Spotify, Podbean.
Kingdom Prophetic Society.
Kingdom Prophetic, MySpace.
Just go to kingdomprophetic society.org, and all of our platforms are there.
They're all.
Jeff will be using his Atari.
Exactly.
Right.
Playing Pong. Father, we love you, and we do pray for the peace of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask, God, that you make Israel victorious in this battle.
Amen.
And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll bring the lost and give your people a burden again for lost people.
Yes, Jesus.
And help us to be the witness that we need to be for your name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, God, that you'll bless us, anoint us, protect us in what we say, keep us from saying the wrong thing. And when we do say the wrong thing, I pray it'll be edited out somehow, supernaturally.
Amen.
And, Father, I ask that you bless our little time here. And every time that we get together, may it be a time spent in the kingdom that is valuable and worthwhile.
Lord.
We give you praise for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining today's Smith and Roland Show. You can check out our website at kingdompropheticsociety.org and our daily unplugged podcast at smithandrolandshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.